Brilliance Audio presents The Mercy of Snakes by Dean Koontz from Nameless, a collection of Amazon original stories, performed by Eduardo Ballerini. Driving the 96 miles from Traverse City to Cross Village, Michigan, just to get the lay of the land, Nameless marvels that such beautiful country and charming upscale lakeside towns could produce and nurture and long sustain a serial killer admired by nearly everyone. By now he should not be the least surprised by the capacity of evil people to deceive their credulous friends and neighbors, or by the unconscious preference of so many people to be deceived. He has known many murderers. The Toyota 4Runner handles nicely. Earlier, when he arrived in Traverse City by bus, with no luggage other than his wallet, the vehicle was waiting for him on a nearby street, just where a text from Ace of Diamonds promised it would be found. A suitcase in the cargo area contains items he will need, from a change of clothes to a pistol. During the first 20 minutes of his 3-hour drive, he listens to a recording that sets out his mission and describes his target in detail. This has been provided by Ace, his handler in the mysterious organization that has prepared him for this work and has set him loose to do it. When the recording concludes, the memory chip has self-erased. It can't be replayed. That's all right with Nameless, because he has total recall of everything he's seen and heard for the past 2 years. However, regarding everything previous to those 2 years, he remembers zip, zero, nada. He believes that his amnesia has been engineered with his agreement, and he suspects it is a blessing. For this assignment, his name will be Charles Parker. His missions, when accomplished, are nearly always satisfying, sometimes exhilarating. Maybe this one will be too, but he senses a potential sadness in it that could be overwhelming. This is not a moment of clairvoyance, a vision of things to come. Once in a while he has a glimpse of the future, but this is only a feeling, a hunch. Determined to remain positive, he drives on, enjoying the summer lushness of oaks and maples and birches and cedars, with the lake sparkling between the trees. As he cruises, he indulges in some amateur philosophizing, separating humanity into 3 groups. First are those for whom the words right and wrong have no meaning other than for such as traffic directions. You turn right at the second stoplight. If you turn left, you've gone wrong. They are nihilists, though not all of them know it, and though many of them would bristle at the label. All such people are difficult to trust. Some are dangerous, and some are lethal sociopaths. Second are those who recognize right and wrong, a natural Tao, and who try to live by what is right as much as they can. These people are aware that real and implacable evil exists in the world. However, as a psychological defense mechanism, many of them grossly underestimate the prevalence of it. Third are those who, busy with their lives, haven't given much thought to right and wrong. When encountering profound evil, they're not sure what to think of it, and they seek to understand it as a complex phenomenon, when in fact it's simple. By imagining evil as infinitely nuanced, they drain all the bloody color out of it, render it in grays, and move on. This is the largest group. The conclusion he makes regarding the 3 groups has often kept him alive, when he should have ended up bleeding from every orifice and then some. Members of the 2nd group, who underestimate the prevalence of evil, are those most often targeted by it. They can pretty much be trusted not to do profound evil themselves, but they can't be counted on to recognize clues that might determine which of their neighbors has 10 dismembered bodies buried in his basement. The 3rd type, those who patiently analyze evil from numerous psychological and sociological perspectives until its sharp, shiny edges are dull and blurry, are too indecisive to be allies in any fraught encounter with darkness. In fact, they are often likely to have overanalyzed the situation to such an extent that they have talked themselves into an alliance with monsters. What this categorizing means to Nameless, aside from helping to keep him alive, is that given the nature of humanity, he will never be without work.